Page 45. We're almost finished with the cipher. Page 45. It's the middle of the page, and he's saying a poshet. So the Rebbe was making a little bit of chayzik, but in his own unique way, of those Jews who have to work everything out with a cheshbon, have to make a cheshbon for everything, and that they never trust their emotions, and they never allow themselves to experience emotions because they're always doubting whether or not those emotions are entirely sincere. And the Pizestner spoke about that dangerous type of self-evaluation, which is not really humility. It's what's known in the Chassidus Svarim as another psula, as false humility, as destructive self-evaluation. The Rebbe is certainly in favor of constructive self-evaluation all the time. Constructive self-evaluation that is motivating a person to work harder. Not the kind of self-evaluation that brings you always to the conclusion that there's no tachlis, there's no point, and this is not real, and why bother? That's a self-evaluation that the Rebbe and all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov have had no tolerance for at all. So in the middle of the page, he speaks here about self-control. That's what we're going to talk about today. Self-control. And he signed a pasuk to Hulonu, she's b'nei kol echad esatzmai. Certainly one has to look at oneself. One has to think deeply about one's life. He says certainly our original tachlis, and unquestionably a very important goal in our avoda in this group of the Bnei Machshava Tova is that we would be able to take a leap above our physical senses and to have control over our physical senses. That's certainly what's expected of this group of Hasidim that are seeking to serve Hashem in this true way. So, to have control, to rule over the body. Well, in other words, not to fool oneself. The Rebbe says one shouldn't fool oneself to have all of this avodah with simcha and tefillah and hezbeinus, and at the same time, you're a chazer. You know, you have no control over your physical desires. It's not that there's no tachlis to that. So the Rebbe says, lachain. Therefore, he says, the person at this point is thinking, let me test myself and see whether or not all of my avoda, my tefillah, all of my avoda, my davening, my learning and so on, all that we've been learning about, whether or not this has had effect on me, whether this has actually taken whether or not it's actually had this effect upon me, that now I'm a person that I have complete control over my physical desires. That's as we're nearing the end of the country, so the Rebbe is saying that no one, you want to now look at yourself and see. So am I a person after all of this? Am I more of a human being? Do I have control over myself? In Be'emes Moshe on the Alatsmi, am I really a master over myself? Can I control myself? Ata Yosei Mashal Ifnim, do I control myself now more than I did before? In Kainhu, so the person who does this. I was one of the members of the group who does this is thinking, if I do this and I find what that it's true that after all of this, after learning all these techniques of serving Hashem, I find that now, truthfully, I have more control over myself. I have more control over my desires than I ever had. So then the person thinks, that's an indication, the person says to himself, then that's an indication. That proves what? That proves that the process that I'm involved in of self-improvement is true. Now that proves that I'm not fooling myself. It's true. If I find, after working on all of these things that we've been talking about, and making myself into more of a passionate Jew, I find that I have more control over myself, then that proves to me that everything is amistic that I've done. And this member of the group says that if I find that this is not the case, in other words, after all that I've learned, I still am the same person with the same desires, then he reaches the conclusion that I've made a mistake and I've fooled myself. So he says, even if you come to that conclusion, and the Rebbe is saying it might not be entirely wrong, because really at this point you should be someone that's more in control, unless you just study this as something which is interesting or intellectually stimulating. But if you're really trying to put into practice the principles that we're learning, you should be a person that has greater control. But he says, nevertheless, even though you haven't reached that level of pure and honest Avodas Hashem, nevertheless, he says, Al tisrapi b'malachtecha, don't become weak. Don't weaken yourself. Don't refrain. Don't hold back from your Avodas Hashem, from your Malach, Avodas Chavodas HaKadoshu, to continue. Shuv is chazek. Strengthen yourself once again. Don't give up hope. In other words, the Rebbe's being mechazek, a person that goes through this entire countries, he's talking to these elite Hasidim that are with him, and he's saying, some of you are probably wondering why, after all that we've spoken about, you're still struggling with the very base desires. Huh? You're just thinking that, right? So he says he's also thinking, Dov is also thinking. So we all are. So he's saying, Shuv is chazik v'shuv taschel bo. Start again, be mechazik yourself and start again. Doesn't mean it's a waste of time. Hafochba, turn it over, and it was right there. Don't take yourself away from this. Don't stop. Ki ha'im yazov achayles trufosav im loipola b'rishona. Could you think of anything so insane as a person who is sick, and he stops taking the medicine because it didn't have immediate effect? The medicine didn't work right away, so he says, I'm not going to take it. It's not. It doesn't help. Why should I take it? It's crazy. He strengthens himself and maybe has to increase the dosage. It could be. Maybe double or three times he has to see. However, even in this issue of self-control and mastery over oneself, in other words, what the Rebbe is saying until now is the fact that you have more knowledge of yourself, that you're a person that, as we've been learning, you have more knowledge of yourself, doesn't necessarily mean that you have greater control over yourself. To get from that place of self-knowledge to self-control, that's a difficult journey, and it takes time, and it takes a lot of work. So the Rebbe says that in order to have self-control and mastery, one has to know how to, you have to learn how to accustom yourself to this type of avoda. Because it could be that your work as one of the B'nai Machshava Tova, as one of this group, it could be that your work has been good, it's been sincere, you're not a phony, you mean it, you want to become better. However, there's something else that's causing you, that's holding you back from controlling yourself. In other words, don't look at the fact that you're a person that still has these base instincts and desires. Don't look at that as an indication that everything that you're doing and everything that you're learning and all of your davening and everything is all fake. That's not true. You're sincere and you want to improve, and there's something in that area that's holding you back. So the Rebbe explains this a little bit. He says, "Kol memshala." What he says is so clear and so important. He says, any sovereignty, any government, any sovereignty, any type of rule of Malchus, of Memshalah, it can only succeed if it's imbued, if it's infused with a spirit or a sense of empowerment, right? Just to hold the title of being a king, or to hold the title of being in a position of authority, but to lack completely in the ruach, in a spirit, and in an exuberance, and in the enthusiasm to rule. So you might hold on to the seat or the official title of being a melech. You might have the official title. Let's say you inherited the throne. So you might have the official title of malchus, but it ain't going to last too long. It's not going to work. Without the ruach, what he calls the ruach ha-moshel, that spirit, that spirit of empowerment. And we know this from any minister, v'isha tzava, or any military man. If he doesn't reveal within himself some inner strength, if he doesn't find, this guy could have a chashuva job in the army. Whatever, he had some protection, he got himself a chashuva job. But if he doesn't reveal within himself inner strength, some inner strength and power, he will not be able to withstand the terror of going out to war. He could sit in his office and he could put up all the signs. I have this and this and I'm a colonel and I accomplished this and I attended these seminars and these classes and I was recognized as being the most brilliant in my class, and so on. West Point, very chashuv. And now he's in Vietnam. If he doesn't have a ruach gevura within him, he could have the official title. He might have finished the course. He might know exactly from the manual what to do and how to apply this strategy and that strategy. Is gevaldik. In other words, he's a professional soldier. But if he doesn't have a ruach gevura, this mysterious inner strength and courage, if he doesn't have it, so this, he's going to get to the battlefield. And he's going to, like many people, he's going to fall to pieces. There was a guy that I knew that he fought in Vietnam. Although he can't really describe his fighting. He said this is what happened. He said, you know, he's a very sharp guy, and he told me that he was very much sliach, and he said it was the biggest mistake he made, because like they sent him on some chashuv mission, because they saw he's a smart guy, and in training like he was good. So he said that they sent them to this crazy place, like the worst place. So he said, I'll tell you what I did. Mostly, he said, I hid behind trees. I hid behind trees, and then he said something about how he was so scared that he dirtied his pants. And he said most of the time I was trying to hide. So even though you look like you're the person that's an ideal soldier, if you're missing, the most basic thing to be missing is a ruach gevura. You know what? You might not be the best soldier. You might not be the best shooter. You might not be the smartest guy. But if you have a ruach gevura, but if you have that inner strength, you could win wars. So that's what the Rebbe is saying. Af im kocho rav harbe misonov. It could be that you're physically, you know, that you're stronger than the enemy. You know, you could put him down in a wrestling match. Could be you're stronger than him, Lamaisa. Kamo Shomra Torah. And we see this Beferish in Chumash. Look how clear it is in the Torah. What does it say in the Torah? Kamo Shomra Torah Ish Hayore Virach Aleva of Yoshu Lebeso. When the Jewish people are going out to war, that person who's Rach Aleva, Ish Hayore, he's fearful. He doesn't have that courage. Virach Alevav, he's a soft-hearted. Yoshev Lebeso, he should go home. He's going to mess up everybody else too. Davka Hayori Virach Alevav. Look, the Rebbe says, look what disqualifies a person from the army. This is what disqualifies. Hayori Virach Alevav. To be afraid and to be weak-hearted. It doesn't say in the Chumash someone that's weak. The guy can't lift weights. The guy's not so strong. It doesn't say that. Could be a skinny guy. Could be a guy that's not so strong. But if he has the ruach gevura, he'll be matzliach.
Didn't Shaul say something to David?
Right. So David HaMelech responded in that way. When David wanted to go fight against Goliath. Right? So David HaMelech had that ruach, perhaps more than any Jew that ever lived. There was a ruach of malchus, a ruach of gvur. David HaMelech, even though physically, certainly at that time, he was of slight appearance, he wasn't impressive. That's what Shaul was saying. You're right. It's good that you're mentioning him. But David HaMelech, that's how David HaMelech confronted Goliath. Was Goliath, as you recall, was mocking him. Goliath didn't take him seriously because he saw this guy as a nobody compared to him. But David HaMelech had the ruach Hashem that was sizzling inside of him. That's David HaMelech. Ki chol yecholas hamelcham is gaber lichvayish velim shalal asaynei beruach gevura tluya. Because one's ability to rule and to subdue the enemy depends completely upon ruach gevura. It depends upon that sense of empowerment, that inner strength. And the Tanya talks about this. The Tanya discusses this in the context of simcha. And the Tanya talks about two people who are pitted against each other in a wrestling match. He said that the one who is excited, the one who wants to win, the one who's got a lot of oomph to his fight, he's going to win. It could be the second guy. It could be the other guy is physically stronger, but if he doesn't have a cheshek, he's going to lose the wrestling match. This is yedua. We know this from sports. We know this from everything. That's why morale is such a big thing. In team sports, right? Morale, because you could pump up the guys, and you pump up the guys, and they're able to have that feeling of cheshek and of inner strength, and even though in terms of their talent they might be less choshev than the opponent. Yaakovinu Namalach. We see this keseder in life. So Tanya says, if a person is ba'atzvus, if a person is depressed, he's always going to lose against the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is not stronger than us. Hashem would never give us a Yetzirah that's stronger than us. We know that. And yet all of us, our whole lives are going, ach, the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah. My Yetzirah. So Tanya says, you could defeat your Yetzirah. You have to have simcha and cheshek. He says, you can't go out to war being depressed and having a sense of fatalism, you know, that I'm a loser. There's no way I could do this. You go to war like that, then it's just a question of a couple of minutes, you're finished. You can't go out to war being depressed. You can't go out to war being afraid. And during the summer, I was talking to the parents in the country about this. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to some of those tapes. And I tried to talk to the chevra over there about this, because this is what led me originally to having these discussions with them, is because the feeling that I'm getting more and more is that parents are afraid to be parents. Parents are afraid to be parents. They don't have that confidence in being parents anymore. They don't have that confidence. You know, if the kid says it's my 16th birthday, I expect you to take off from work and take me to the motor vehicle bureau to get my learner's permit to drive. So the parent's thinking, you know, I better do it because maybe if not, then she's going to rebel against me, and I'm going to have a kid at risk. And what am I going to do? I wanted to turn out to be a nice Jew and to go under the chuppah. I better go to the motor vehicle bureau. And you have parents with a bechlal, they've been totally sapped of the confidence to be a parent. Because of many things. Because of things that they hear that are going on. And because they feel like, you know, so many times in the past I yelled at the kid and I didn't treat the kid properly. So therefore I sort of lost my credentials as being a parent. So I have to just give in and give in and give in, you know, and so on. The people are lacking in this confidence, and they don't have a cheshek to be parents. They don't have an inner strength in being a parent. And you can't win like that. You can only win with simcha, with confidence, with excitement. That's the only way to win in this world. That wrestling match. The Tanya says over there, certainly one has to, sometimes one has to be brokenhearted. You have to think about your aveiros. You have to make your cheshvan and nefesh. The Tanya says, yeah, but you know what you should do? You choose a time when to do that. Not like most of us. What happens to most of us is that when it's aveira time, then you're in a good mood. But when it comes to davening, then you start to think, you know, a person like me should daven. You know how many aveiras I've done. I should learn. I should finish a mesechta. I don't have any. You know, you lose your cheshek because you get depressed. And you know that, you know, who am I to do this? But not when it comes to an aveira. This comes to me. This aveira is coming to me. You know. And you have a cheshek. A person goes on a vacation, a person goes out to play a little ball, all of a sudden he has confidence, he's a baldover, he's a somebody. But when it comes to davening, to learning, to doing a mitzvah, person like me, who am I to do this mitzvah? Who am I to learn like this? You know, these machshavas that take away one's inner strength. When you don't have the resolve to win, you know that you're going to lose. The emes is, maybe this is something we have to be careful how to phrase it. Sometimes a person doesn't want to win. I mean, you don't want to win, because the consequences of winning might change your life too dramatically. The consequences of winning might change. When someone tells me, someone will say, you know, like I had a lot of phone calls this week because the Rebbe was telling everybody to throw out their television, this Kalani Rebbe. So I was getting phone calls the whole week from, you know, different people. And I don't know what to do because I want the brachas to work, but I want to keep my TV. This is the whole week longer. So is the bracha dependent upon the television getting, you know, throwing out the television?
I had somebody told me that he's going to divorce his wife. She had three TVs out of the door.
Yeah. And if a person would divorce his wife because of televisions, then it means that the television has had the desired effect over him. He probably saw that on some television show, that you could throw out a wife because of televisions. So these are the calls that I'm getting about, you know, what do? I want to be better, but, you know, the Rebbe gave me brachas, and I want the brachas. But I can't do it. What is that? Can't? I didn't say that, I didn't tell any of these people 100%. And you know, if you don't throw out the television, then you're in big trouble. That's what, you know, you have to work with people. But as people who are here now, a little chevra, we're trying to connect to the Bnei Machshava Tova in some way, on some level. So in all honesty, when a person says I can't, very often it doesn't mean that. If you tell me I can't jump from here across Woodmere Boulevard, that's true. And even that I have a suffix. But when a person says, I can't be Mizgabra on a Yetzirah, it could mean I don't really want to. And until the person really wants to, Taka can't. It's true. So the way to work with a Jew like this is not to say, you're a liar, you can. That's not going to work. He's never going to call you up again. You don't say, you're a liar, you can do it. What you have to do is to learn with a Jew and to talk to a Jew to show him that he does have the strength, and to be male on his own, he's going to realize that this is not good for me. You know, it's not the pshat that it's not true. What are you going to argue with me? I can't. You can. I can't. You know, it's ridiculous. Now, the Teretz is that the same thing with our children, is to give them that inner strength. What do you, to sit down and to lecture a kid, you have the strength to overcome the Yetzirah. You know, you're growing up now, there are Yetziraras in the world. Be strong. Like you give him like this, some pep talk, like a guy, you know, from Notre Dame or something. Be strong. This kid goes out in the world and he has his first Yetzirah, boom, he's finished. So you can't understand. You catch the kid doing something wrong and you say to him, your uncle, I told you before to be strong. So he's like, you know, so he says, yeah, it didn't work, I don't know. So what do you do about that? Now the answer is, you can't just give a speech, be strong. If you spend your life with a kid, singing Zmiras and talking over Torah and good geshmaka things and being mechazikim and having a good relationship with a kid, so then, you know, then he'll see that the muzdiyok, and then when it comes time, God forbid, if he's being tested, then the same way that Yosef HaTzadik saw the image of Yaakov, your child will see your image and know that my father's a yid, and he taught me this, and I feel this power that he gave me inside. I feel this energy. I feel these kaychas rumbling inside of me. But if a kid goes into life weak and without that kind of resolve, and he's brought up in a home where he sees that the parents are also like this, the parents don't have a clear derech, and they don't have strength, and they don't have resolve. He sees the parents are constantly wavering. When it comes to halacha, he sees parents that are like, you know, they pick and they choose. He sees parents who are weak. That my mother and father, they keep the halacha, but there are certain things, like, you know, that they don't keep. So when kids are growing up in that house, they don't have that energy later on to contend with the eight. And then you're wondering, well, what happened to you? And if the Kiwanis, he would say, well, I'm a chip off the old block. They're too able to say such a thing. They're afraid to say such a thing. But the truth is that they could say that. I'm a chip off the old block. You were dancing by two chasnas. I'm also a professional dancer. You live that double life. I also live a double life. But when a child sees that, he sees a father who's davening, who's learning, whose observance of halacha is sincere and it's passionate, and he sees a mother in whose life Yiddishkeit, and he sees tznius, and she sees the mother as a tznua, as somebody who's truly working on being more modest and more humble and more hidden, and someone who really, really cares about Yiddishkeit with excitement. So then that's infinitely more important than any lecture you're going to give the kid. And so Rachmanis, when you have these parents that they're arguing with a kid, you know, you get someone that's arguing with a kid that's 18 years old, they're arguing with an 18-year-old daughter, 19-year-old daughter, that she's not acting appropriately. She's not acting, it's not right, and you're going with the boys and this and that, and not acting appropriately. You know what it is, it's too little, too late. It's not something that you could just lecture a kid about. The kid has to see... This girl has to see that her mother is Moiseres Nefesh, is Moiseres Nefesh for these principles. and I got news for you. You can't just say, the mother can't say, oh, I didn't do any bad stuff like that, so what if I don't dress nicely? In the child's mind, there's very little chiluk. You have to understand that. In the child's mind, the mother who dresses inappropriately in front of men is no different than her doing something inappropriate with men. I'm sorry to say that. I know it sounds very extreme, but it's really the honest truth. There's very little difference in her mind. She sees her mother in front of men dressing a certain way, and she sees her mother talking to men in a certain way and conducting herself in a certain way, dressing up for the men. She sees that, and to her, in her child's mind, there's no difference. But when she sees a mother that's a tzinua, who's truly modest and who conducts herself in a way of modesty, so then that child is infused with that self. With that inner strength that comes from us, and you can't just lecture a kid about it; it's not going to work. And that's the Rebbe saying that there's a thing called Ruach HaMoshel, a spirit of being a ruler, and that's not just sitting and opening a sefer and saying the halacha says you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. You have to show someone that he can rule. It's like I mentioned that by the Sgolan Rebbe over there. I said Lahodiyah Levnei HaAdam Gvurosav. Lahodil of Nehadam Grosov means not just to tell people that God is strong. You remember I mentioned this the other day for those that were there. It means that you have to go and show another Jew that he has that strength. You have this strength. Lahodil of Nehadam Grosov Shalhaadam. You have to tell people and show a person that he has such strength. He has that kayak. You have to show a child, you have to know your child, and you have to know what your child has the strength to accomplish. You can't tell him something that he's incapable of doing, but you have to know the limits of his capabilities, and you have to push him to that point, to the limits, gently, but you have to push him to that point. That's why that I mentioned to you, I don't know if I mentioned here, or I mentioned I think maybe in the Chassidus class, but it's kedai to mention here. That's why I saw that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livrache, wrote a letter. Then I mentioned there was somebody wrote to the Rebbe, asked him what he was doing, and he wrote, this is in the 50s, the Rebbe wrote back, and the man wrote back to the Rebbe that he was involved in Kiryas V'Chokhim. I told this to you? In the Chassidus class. He wrote back to the Rebbe, I'm involved in Kiryas V'Chokhim, which now we're very used to that term, which means bringing Jews who are far and near. Oh, the Rebbe blasted him. He didn't like that term, the Rebbe. He says, Kiryas V'Chokhim, he wrote back to him. He says, Kiryas V'Chokhim, he says, first of all, what makes you think that that person is so far away? And second of all, maybe you're only pretending that you're so near. Hear this? So the Rebbe said to him, I have a better way that you should think of this, instead of Kira V'Chokim. The Rebbe never liked to use that term. I have a better way, because then you're starting off already with a problem. Well, you're starting off, he's far, I'm near. No, that's already no good. He's far, I'm near. So the Rebbe said, I have a better idea. You want to have a good way to think of what you're doing, think like this. Think that the king of all kings, the king himself, has appointed you, has asked you to be his only emissary to his only son, to speak to his only son. That's the way you should think of this. No kira v'chokim. Think of yourself as being sent as a shliach by the king himself, who has asked you to please, please, have a few words with his only child. And if you think this way, then you'll be matzliach. Then you'll have hatzlach in what you're doing. It's that distance between people that a person doesn't. If a person leidil of neha adam gvroisav means that you can't start off with that. If you're gonna start off with that person feeling that I am so far, I have no koyches hanefesh, I am I can never be. You know, I found that something interesting over the years of teaching, because I've always taught kids that are coming from non-religious backgrounds. That's what I've been teaching for years. Do you know how discouraged kids are just when they go into a room in the beginning, and they for the first time, let's say they never had, they might not have really ever had a Rebbe or something, and they come to the room and they just to sit down in front of someone that has a beard and payas, how discouraging that is, because a child instinctively thinks, well, I can never be like that. I can't, and you know, he's going to want me to be like, I can never be like that. I'm never going to be a Jew like that. and that feeling takes away from him his kaiches and nefesh. He doesn't have kaiches, he doesn't want, and he can't. Therefore, it's so important for Rebbe to be able to cross over that space between himself and the child. It doesn't mean you're supposed to, therefore, you know, take off your beard and pay. That's ridiculous. But it does mean that you have to know how to play some ball with the kids, and it does mean that you have to relate to them and talk to them about their personal lives and so on, to see that they're not rechokim, and you're not so, and you didn't make yourself into such a kohen. You understand? Then the child feels that I can connect to this person, and he can get strength from that person. So that's what the Rebbe is explaining here. You can only rule over the enemy. You can only rule over the enemy if you have this ruach gevura. Cain harbeits around six lines down. Cain harbei palmim nichshol haldem chasu shalom b'tayves. He says many times in life a person is nichshol, a person fails, and he gives in to a certain desire. Lo mivnei shetavosam uruba. Not because the taiva, not because the desire is so overwhelming, it's so powerful. There's only one. You can even when it comes to eating, you might not even be so hungry. You know, whatever, they brought something to the house. So it's a certain type of food that you like. You know that's not good for you. You know you shouldn't be eating this. You know that it's, you know that you're just, you're gaining too much weight. It's not good for you. And you're not even so hungry. You're not hungry. But you look at this thing and you're so weak. And the thing says, come on. And you can't, you don't even have the koichas to stand up to it. Your whole life is controlled by some layer cake. I'm speaking from personal experience. He says, "Love nesha tavosim urak b'nesha rach halevu." It's not because the taiva is so strong. It's not that the desire is inconquerable. I can't. So you say, "I can't." Hazati in Sahara. I can't. So people are spending, I don't know, millions or billions of dollars on all kinds of gimmicks and books, right? To do what? Take away my taiva. I read that people are cutting up their, what are they doing? They're stapling their stomachs. This strikes me. I don't know anything about medicine. This sounds like it's dangerous. I don't know. Yeah? Someone died. Could you imagine? To staple the stomach so that I shouldn't be able to put that much, to limit the intake of food. Could you imagine to what, besides, to endanger oneself in such a way. And what's the tachlis? The tachlis is, so I shouldn't have a taiva. Yeah? So I shouldn't have a taiva. It's unbelievable. So I shouldn't have a taiva. That's not a Yeshua for a person, to staple his stomach. The Yeshua for a person is to what? To teach him how to control himself. Like deal of Nehadam Groysav. What do you mean? Don't... You still have the time. You become sick and emotionally ill. Who knows what that caused? It's crazy. But this person, the ideal of Naodam Grosev means you don't have to staple your stuff. Don't staple it. Just stop putting so much stuff in there. Stop it. Control yourself. But nowadays, people are growing up with television, with advertising. All the advertising tells you is, you know that you can't control yourself. You know that you can't. You know that you really want this. That's what all of advertising is about. That's what all of pornography is about. You know you can't. You know that this is human nature. Come on. This is human nature. And the secular psychologist will tell you it's very dangerous for you to control yourself. It could be very dangerous for you. It could cause you a terrible psychological, emotional upheaval if you control yourself. What you need to do is to let loose. So a whole generation that's being trained to indulge in desire. And all of a sudden, you're getting more serious in life. You're getting firmer. You know, you're getting a little bit older. You have kids. You want to be more of a baldover. You want to be a person that can be a good role model for your kids. And you're so much in the habit of giving into desires that you have tainus that Hashem gave you, that Hashem presents you with taivas that you can't possibly, with desires that you can't possibly contend with. It's not true. It's not true. But if you never exercise, then you have no strength. It's bullshit. If your whole life you never exercise self-control, so then how are you supposed to win? If you have no cheshek, you can't win. So he says, so the Rebbe explains, so you think that you can't win over this taiva, why? Because they're taiva. He says, no, but nisha taiva is murubrak, nisha rachaleivu. You're weak-hearted. You don't have to staple your stomach. You don't have to spend $1 million on some dietitians and the face of us and reading all these books in a new way. How could you know these diets? You just listen on the news. I'm driving in the car. What's the best diet? You could eat. You could eat and eat and eat and still lose weight. So every single rachaleva that's driving, like every overweight, weak-hearted person is thinking, this is me. This is my diet.
Yeah.
In other words, he's telling me I could become skinny and not have to control myself. That's the ma'isa. It's not true. These are all lies. These are all lies. Unless there's some surgical process, or they're going to give you pills. They take these dangerous pills. Dangerous pills. That you should have less of an appetite and so on. But all of these methods, these are all for people who are weak and who cannot control themselves. Gemarnu. Now, unless a person has some, there are instances where a person, God forbid, has some sort of a, there's a chemical, I'm not talking about chemical problems, God forbid, things like that, but I'm talking about a portion of the person is, he's not a person that's about ruach. He's not about ruach. He says, lo ruach gevur, lo ruach hamoshel, ola bekirbo, he doesn't have within him this inner strength. He doesn't have a ruach gevur. Therefore, he can't even rule over a weak desire. Look, the guy already had the smorgasbord. He already had the smorgasbord. Then he sat down. He had a full meal, a big meal, and now he's walking out from the place, and they're rolling out some of those desserts. Right? The emissary says he might have to go to the hospital if he has that Napoleon. You might have to take him, Hatzolah might have to come. He doesn't have a taiva. He has this tiniest little thing that says, I like that in my mouth. Not even the stomach, his stomach is full. But my mouth, my taste buds, I enjoy that Napoleon, I enjoy that piece of cake. My taste buds. And then he goes there. And he's late for something. And he's in a rush. And he doesn't want to have to wait in line for the coast. The whole business, right? And he's still standing there with the plate. And then some people start, some other weak people are standing there schmoozing with him for another hour. And he comes home, he feels, oh, I'm a chazer, I'm a chazer, and it's so late, and I, all of that. All he had was such a tiny little taiva. That if your kid would have a little taiva like that to do something bad in school, and he wasn't matzliach, he would say, what's wrong with you? But people like us, adults, after we ate so much, because of that little taiva, for the mouth, for 2 seconds, because once it gets down there, I'm ready, ugh, it's no good, right? It's no good. But over here, oh, it's geschmack. So for those 2 seconds, you can't do it. To chevron, sorry. Unless I'm finishing in like 10 minutes, 15, but I'm sorry, I don't know. No, I would go. Interesting. What to do? I'm sorry. Should try to do it that somebody shouldn't have to do this more than once every 10 days or 2 weeks. I apologize. so for that, look, you have a person that in order to daven in the minyan, he's got to give up. Let's say no, let's keep it. In order to daven in the minyan, he's got to give up. Let's say another 15 minutes, another half hour, right of sleep. To be able to daven this, because now I'm thinking of this. Yeah. So in order to go to a minyan, in order to be in a minyan, so you can go, a person can go there for 10, 20 years, davening by himself. What bizyon is for a Jew to stand there? I mean, occasionally you have to, you can't get to a certain place, whatever, you have to go. But to have a life like that, a bizyon is that you put on your towels and tefillin in the kitchen or something, bizyon is. That's how a Jew davens? You go with other Jews, you daven in the minyan. Once in a while it happens, but as a way of life, you don't daven like that. But for 15 minutes, what is it? That's the biggest Yetzer Hara in the world? It's not. That's a week. That's a little thing. But since you're a person with no inner strength, and you don't even think that you have the inner strength, in your weak and feeble way of looking at life, if I don't have these 15 minutes extra of sleep, I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. And you'll rationalize. You know, I read in the book that if you don't have 7 hours, it can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous, and maybe I'm going to end up being rude to my wife and children, and I'm going to be a bad mood at work. So, in order to improve my relationship with my family and my fellow workers, employees, I think that I should have these extra 15 minutes. And I can't have them b'tzivah. What can I do? I don't want to be mean to my wife. Sof kol sof, huh?
It's a Rambam.
You have to sleep. Right? So even if you want to defeat a weak Yetzer, you have to be a Bal Ruach. You have to be able to know how to say no. Look in the world what's going on. And I was talking about this the other day. For Barsham, I was reading, we were discussing this, I think, recently. There's a whole continent that's dying, Africa. The whole continent is dying. I'm not talking about the kids that are the Nabach, they're born into this bad stuff. But the whole continent, because they can't control themselves. People can't control themselves. Even though it's killing you, people can't control themselves. And it's happening, that's the whole continent that's going on there. But then, here in America, which is such a civilized, educated place, what's going on? It's Magefa. So they're thinking of all kinds of things. How can we cure? Of course, I'm not talking about this through a blood transfusion or a child, I understand. But to get to the shorish, if we want to get to the root of the problem, the root of the problem is, stop it. Stop it. Close the window. You know, if the air is coming in, close the window. Stop it. No. Couldn't call, if you say that, that means you're prejudiced. You're not allowed to say that, right? Because if you talk like that, then you'll never become the district attorney, you understand? If you talk that way, you'll never be accepted by the feeble, weak-minded people of the world. Because the feeble, weak-minded people of the world, they don't believe in telling anybody, why don't you control yourself? Why don't you try to improve yourself? The Teretz is always, somebody else has to do this for me. So you have millions of people are dying until someone's going to find some medical treatment. So that what? So I can go on with my taivas and take a pill or get a shot and I'll continue to live. It's amazing. And no one talks about this. No one talks about it. Just stop. You can. No one talks about it. And if you talk about it, then you're finished. If a politician or a public figure would say so, would talk that way? Are you kidding? Huh? That's what I was saying. She says, now we understand what Chazal say about that pasuk, that he's what? That he's the guy has to be sent home from the battlefield. Why? Because he's a Yorei V'racha Leivav. So the Gemara asks, he's afraid of what? What's he afraid of? So it says, Hayori Mi Averis Shabiyodo. He's afraid of the Averis that he's done. Haveris Biyodo Hain. So listen to what the Rebbe says. Haveris Shabiyodo. What an interesting term. In other words, this guy is afraid that he's not worthy of going to, of fighting and winning. He's going to get killed because he has a lot of affairs, right? So that's what I mean. He has no inner strength. So look at the Lashon of Chazal. It doesn't say that he's afraid of me'averus she'asa, from the averus that he did. It says averus shebiyodo. So the Rebbe says, really? He says averus shebiyodo. Averus biyodo hein. Really? Then your hand. You're afraid. You have no courage. Because of the Averis, you should know, Rabbi, the Averis are biyodcha. You have the strength in your own hands to stop yourself. And if you really want to, you can strengthen your hands and you can strengthen yourself to do the right thing or to resist doing the wrong thing. That's the chisaron. The problem is that you are weak spirited. You never discovered in yourself this ruach hamemshala. You never discover within yourself this inner strength. There's another problem. That's why anybody that says something bad about you, you're already finished. If somebody criticizes you, that's it. You're done. You're finished. Because you don't have that ruach memshal at all. There's nothing inside of you. So the second someone disapproves, or the second someone criticizes you, or someone doesn't like you, it's fafalm. You can't move. Aval ish hatzava. He says, however, a true military man, a real military man, im yamtin ada sheyovel milchama, he says, if you have a military man, if he waits until it's time for war, until he comes to war, neged sinei nafsho, against his enemies. Remember, I was talking about that it's a little, it's too little, too late. In other words, now when you're ready on the battlefield, so like the tanks, the enemy tanks are approaching, right? And you're standing there, and you think, oh, I better be mechazik myself. I really have to. I have to find within myself the koyches. He says, it could be you're not going to make it at that point. If your whole life you've been raised as such a person, this is how you live, as Yorev, Rachalevav, so then all of a sudden when you're ready in the battlefield to find the inspiration, the courage, and the strength, it's very unlikely. It's very unlikely. Lo Yoril, lo Yifal Mu'uma. How's she supposed to be strong? So you have in school, so you have so the teachers, you have these adults, so themselves, most of them, a lot of them went through their own passions when they were younger. Right? And they went through their own inyanim when they were younger. The students don't really know about that. The students think that their teachers are all, of course, big tzaddikim and perfect. And then you have the teacher doesn't understand. The teacher's in this spell, how could the student does something wrong, gets involved in an aveira. And the teacher doesn't understand. The teacher looks down and doesn't understand. After all, you know how much material will be covered this year? I'm so surprised that you did this aveir. We finished up Shnayim Ochzim this year. We finished the first parak in Bava Metzia. How come you did this aveir? The kid doesn't understand that. Were you mechazik me at all? He's not going to say that to the rabbi. What kind of chizik did you ever give me? What kind of chizik did I ever hear except put your finger in the Gemara and look inside? Did you ever give me chizik? Torah itself is gevaldig chizik, just to learn. But nowadays, you know that it's not enough for the kids. Maybe, and it didn't work for us either, really. But maybe, what's needed is something more. What's needed is something more. More chizik. So you never made the kid into a soldier. You never made the kid into a soldier. It's also interesting. Look how the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who had an astounding understanding of people, Lamala Manateva. Look how the Lubavitcher Rebbe, first of all, he was a big bucky in military strategy. You know that they used to call him from Eretz Yisrael. All the generals, they used to call him to ask him Eitzes. And he imagined he wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, and he used to tell them this, that. So, you know when he started with the Tzivus Hashem, you know, that the children are all part of an army. Everybody makes fun of that, right? The Tzivus Hashem. I could hear it, as they sang in yeshivas. Chazal used such lashonis. The Rebbe didn't make that up. He didn't make that up. Right, maybe you don't like, you know, putting on caps and, you know, going like soldiers. But the idea was to show a child that you are strong. To show a child that you have strength. What is it? Only when you go to play on a football team, then you get pep talks and you get hyped up? Only when it comes to football, but not when it comes to being in the world. Look at these guys, these football players. Every single day you turn on the radio, there's another one that murdered his girlfriend. They said that 20% of the guys in the NFL have criminal records. No? But look at this. You have these guys that can mamish go head on with a truck. This guy can go head on. You can take one of these linebackers, he could tackle an 18-wheeler. Right? But then he's in an argument with his girlfriend and he shoots her. or he beats her to death. So Baruch Shalom, listen, we know that you're stupid. We understand that. But this much you know. You might go to jail the rest of your life. You're gonna have to the only thing that you could do is to carry this piece of leather across that line. They're not gonna let you do that anymore. Do you understand? They're not gonna let you do that anymore.
carpet. It's not the same thing, right? You're not going to be able to do this professionally and for all the money and with all the fans, right? You're not going to be able to do this anymore. You can't talk to him. I'm angry, and I got to kill her. I'm going to kill her. She got me upset. I'm going to kill her. It's a pella. So you have these gargantuan, these monsters, that when it comes to self-control, any little bochel in yeshiva has more self-control. The strongest person in the world. Look at the president, the past president of the United States. Can you think of anything more pitiful? The most powerful person politically in the world is so weak that he can't even cheshbonize the consequences of what he's going to do in the White House. In the White House. While of course, a close friend of his was counseling him. How to overcome one's tivus. You know? You hear my? How to overcome, how to deal with one's tivus. His friend, the Reverend, was teaching him how to be a person who is a bal ruach. This, we have to show our children the nonsense, the falsehood of all of this. How these guys, those guys that are standing there by the 50-yard line are some, is a collection of some of the weakest characters in America. The weakest characters. Who the kids in America are looking up to are the weakest chevra in the world. The weakest chevra. That they're willing to give up all that fame and all that fortune for a taiva, for a gaiva, for a kaz, for a moment of anger. And the children should be strong to understand. What does it mean, strength? What does strength mean? So that's what the Rebbe is saying. If you come to the battle and you don't have that inner strength, and then all of a sudden, as the tanks are approaching, you try to mechazik yourself. They're going to blow your brains before you even have a chance to. You don't even have a chance to do anything. They're going to kill you. The ra umar lo oz. Oh, then it's going to be bitter. Eved hu kvar. You're ready. You're a slave. You're not a balabas. You're not a ruler. Your whole life you're a slave. You give in to every single fear and every single taiva. You're an eved. That's who you are. You're just a slave. V'lo sar u'moshel, not a ruler, you're not a minister, a ruler. V'rak terem od yorvim soinav b'shol sh'odenu b'bayis v'sholom loy b'bayis u'b'chutz. Loymed hu esatzol, megaru megalu b'kibur ruach v'ah. What do you have to do? Long before you go out to war. That's what our children have to be good. That's what we have to give this to our children. Long before you go out to war. When you're still in the house and it's peaceful and good. There you have to learn the tactics of war. There you have to learn how to strengthen yourself, to have chizuk. So it is with serving Hashem. Don't wait till you're at the brink of the aveira. You're already about to do the aveira. Or even if it's something that's permitted, but like we said, like fressing or something like that. His father, the Divrei Elimelech, the Rebbe Elimelech from Grudzinsk, not Lizhensk, Grudzinsk was his father. L'charbers amidus l'machshov v'b'chol d'verach afilu b'divrei heter v'lo yirakshet ischashe mikodim lasas b'levad rak tizga b'hem l'chama. Where his father taught that you have to strengthen to connect your emotions, not just his father, he just says that his father often, and if you look at the father's form, he says this over and over. Which is a very, in all of Chassidus Sforim, it's a very major topic. It means to connect, to strengthen yourself, to connect always your midas, your emotions with your machshobas, with your thoughts. Not when it's just a time of war. You know, it's interesting. In the Zohar Kaddish, eating, the meal, is called milchama. It's called the war. And that's why lechem, bread, is in the word milchama. Eating is a time of war. A war with one's tivus. Right, right. A war with one's tivus, and the world tells you, but te'oven, right? It should be taka with the te'oven. So the war with one's tivus, with one's basis tivus, which is to survive, but beyond survival to fress. Eating is a time of a milchama. So his father, the Rebbe Elimelech from Jezins, used to always say that a person has to strengthen his midas with his machshava, with his mind, which is the yisod of all Chabad, the whole avoda of connecting the midas to the machshavas. He's harbe pomim timnemihem. Afim ein dvarim shal isav, af taiva chazoka ein lechalahem. But his father said, not only you, his father said, you have to do this, you have to exercise your self-control, not only when it comes to the point of the Aveira itself. He says, look, he gives an example. You have to train. You have to be in military training your whole life. To develop within yourself, omet halev, courage of heart, v'ruach mem shol alatzim v'chigal v'chad, tenasa kepam b'fam b'dvarm kalei erach, l'mosho, lishtos l'fam kavei, b'lo tzuker v'chadayma. Here he gives an example. You love coffee and you love it with sugar, right? He says, sometimes have coffee without the sugar. Why? What is this, some sort of a... It's not a fast, it's not a... Why can't I have my sugar? The answer is, no one's telling you can't have it. But you must learn how to exercise that ruach of gevura, self-control. Therefore, sometimes, don't have the sugar. That's why the Ravid said, the Ravid, it's in the Rishonim. The Ravid said, you know what's bigger than a fast day? What's stronger than fasting? What's more chasher than fasting? That when someone puts on the plate, and to only eat half is harder than fasting. It's true. It's true. You're not fasting, and they bring out for you a fantastic rib steak with fried onions. Unbelievable. To only eat half of that, and you didn't eat for a couple hours, is harder than fasting. You know that. Because when you're fasting, that's your set, you know, that's your matzav ruach. I'm fasting. But for you to look at the other half of this steak and to say, bye, goodbye, that's so hard. And the Ravid said that's much more chashuv than fasting. It's more chashuv. Because here you're ready, you're at it. And then to be able to be a mensch, to be able to stop and to pull yourself away, like you see that when a tzaddik, you see the way that a tzaddik eats. You saw by tzaddikim, that I remember the first time I saw this when I was a child by the Satmar Rabbi's Tish, and later on by the Visionist's Tish, that not the way that we eat like this. The tzaddik sits like this, you know. He takes the food. The food comes to him. He doesn't go to the food. Now you have to have Rabbi Shigel to afford the dry cleaning, you know, for that. But you understand what it means. What it means is that when you're eating, that within the act of eating to have self-control, that's much harder than not eating. That's the problem with the diets. So everything's with starve yourself, staple, do this, all these things. Not just have a little bit to eat and then don't eat so much. Have one cookie, gesund to eat. My father always told that to us. My father said, so yeah, because my sister, she wouldn't have him, she was in this whole thing, you know. She's not having any mezonos, it's not this, and on Shabbos, my father would get annoyed. Why can't you have a little bit? Mommy made it, have a little bit. And my father would push it. And my sister pushes it away. And my father saw that she's always starving herself. And my father said, why can't you just... So she says, I can't because I gained a lot of weight. So my father says, you know what? You're right. So don't have 10 cookies. Have two cookies, but why can't you have it Shabbos? That's harder. It's harder than not having any cookies. Is to have two and to say, Ad kan, that's enough, must speak. That's harder. This is what he says. He says, so have the coffee without the sugar once in a while. Even though it looks to you like what I'm saying is crazy, you're going to laugh at what I'm telling you. It sounds silly. But with using these simple exercises, you'll be able to stand up to the great wars. You're going to train yourself that when it comes to the big battles, that your neshama, your nefesh is strong enough to be able to win those greater wars. We'll finish the main chelik of the sefer next week, and then the Rebbe gives certain quick hadrachas. It's sort of a review, a summary, and he adds on some things of basic hadrachas, aleph, beis, gimel, to work on these in yonim. So we should be mitzvah in the near future to be able to finish. Okay, shkoyach.